Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hi there, and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Thanks for finding us wherever you find your podcasts, iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher, as always, on the Golf Newsnet platform at golfnewsnet.com. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, the seaside golf capital of the world. He's Darren Bunch in Bakersfield, which is the home to Rio Bravo Country Club. You can find us on social media, Darren at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram, me at Mitch Lawrence, literally anywhere else. And Darren, this particular episode is kind of personal for me, special to my heart, because not only will we be talking about some great golf courses, but you came to visit me in South Carolina.
Oh, that's so sweet. I came out to the Carolinas for a bit of a Mike Strantzathon. You know, I'm trying to play all the Mike Strantz courses everywhere in the world. It's not a particularly big list. So this time around, I hit Tobacco Road, obviously, because it's one of my favorite places, if not my favorite place in the world. But I also made a return to Caledonia and True Blue down on Pawleys Island in South Carolina. And then you and I had the rare treat to go experience Bulls Bay just north of Charleston to knock another Strantz off my list.
Pretty amazing. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it, but when you say the Strantz list isn't that long, that to me is what makes it so unbelievable, is the acclaim that Strantz has gotten before and once again gets pretty much any time anybody plays one of his courses, because that list, given that he passed away way too early at the age of 50, is a short list. It's just mind-boggling, the courses that he did and the respect and the acclaim that all of them get.
And not a day goes by that I don't think to myself, I mean, if he had been able to work through his 50s, what types of projects, you know, he might have landed and what types of things he would do. Because when you see the evolution of some of the other designers we consider to be great contemporaries now, you know, like David McClay Kidd and others, you just wonder kind of what Strantz would he have softened? Would he have become more extreme? Would he have gone the playability route that Kidd did, you know, in terms of adding even more width to his golf courses? You just never know. And I think about that all the time. It's really unfortunate that we lost him too soon.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, because I was thinking about Kidd also, about how he started. He did Band and Dunes, then he worked on all his other projects, came back around, and evolution is a great word. And we'll have no way of knowing what Mike Strantz would have done. The work and the philosophy that he had being continued by Forrest Fesler, who he worked with, but it's not the same. You know, it's not having Mike Strantz around, but luckily we get to play all these courses. We'll talk about them now. You have, I think between the two of us, we've pretty much played them all. Is that right?
I believe so. I have two left on my Strantz bucket list, but it might be a while before I finish them off. Unfortunately, the Virginia courses, Royal New Kent and Stonehouse. I think you've played both of them, right?
I have, yeah.
Okay, so both are currently closed, unfortunately. But it appears that Royal New Kent is getting new life, and it's going to reopen under new management in 2019. But we really just don't know if Stonehouse will ever get a reprieve from the scrap heap, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. And I had heard that Royal New Kent is going to be reopening too. So maybe Stonehouse will. It would be great to keep those courses alive as part of the Strantz collection, out of our control, of course, but we can hope. Before we get started, we couldn't do this without our great sponsor, 2Under. And you've heard us talk about 2Under before. A life-changing experience relative to what we wear as men. Comfort, the enjoyment, the fit. Yes, that's right, Darren. I said what we wear
as men.
Well, yes, because it's this particular 2Under thing, although they do make great loungewear and socks and other things that women can wear, the of course, the mainstay of the 2Under collection is their great underwear and the Joey pouch and asset management and the coolness of them, the fit of them, the care that goes into the great two under brand. That's really what we talk about.
Oh, man, the Joey pouch. You just can't talk enough about the Joey pouch. I start every conversation I have these days with, hey, have I told you about my Joey pouch?
And after people start to walk away, you grab them and then continue.
You know, we've been saying for some time now that we simply can't live without two under. You don't have to either. Use the promo code GNN20 to get 20% off. Just like I did on yet another purchase I made the other day, getting ready for another series of trips that I'm getting ready to take here in the summer and fall.
You can never have enough pairs of two under. And I didn't tell you this, but yesterday I had the chance to have lunch with good friends Bill Conwell, and Bill's the guy who introduced me to Jack Curry, who is the national sales manager, the head honcho and the driving force behind the great sales effort that 2Under puts together. And I had lunch with Bill and Jack. So while we were at Sam Snead's in Myrtle Beach, what do you think we were talking about? Golf?
2Under? Joey Pouches?
Yeah. Yeah. So I kept thinking as the waiters walk by and they're hearing us talk about underwear this, you know how you catch snippets of conversations and they're hearing underwear, Joey pouch, asset management, all this kind of stuff. I kept thinking, oh, they're going to think this table is totally off the charts.
I have so many pair of 2Under right now that when I travel, I'm buying an extra carry on just to carry my 2Under. Like it gets its own. It's like having its own private limousine. To travel with me.
You know what? I'll tell Jack what they should do is create a carry bag. I know they have bags that you can put stuff in, but I think they should actually come up with a bag that looks like a Joey pouch that you can then put your 2Unders in.
So you need a Joey pouch for your Joey pouch.
It's exactly right.
Wow.
Do you not think that would be a great idea? What a marketing genius.
I think that's outstanding.
All right. Obviously, we're thrilled about 2Under. You can find them, too. Go to 2Under. That's the number 2 and UNDR.com for more info. You can check out the styles. As I said, they have loungewear. They have a bunch of things, and they're ridiculously comfortable. As I said, they will change your life. And as Darren said, promo code GNN20, and you can get 20% off your order. Okay. Let's get rolling. This is a pretty important podcast we're going to do, Darren, for both of us, and I hope for other people who love Mike Strands. Anyone who listens regularly knows that we talk about Tobacco Road, as you said, in North Carolina, all period, the period, time, period. Okay? I guess they'll get that. We're going to bypass it for this podcast, but you can go back, check out the earlier podcast, especially the one with owner Mark Stewart. That is fascinating about how Tobacco Road came to be. And of course, we also did a live episode. Darren, our friend Joe Sass, my wife Ava, and I got to open the historic Stewart Cabin behind the 14th Green at Tobacco Road. And that's a great episode to listen to as well. But Darren, we're going to talk about three other Strands courses, and this is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about the three courses. We're going to talk about one outstanding place to stay, the Inlet Sports Lodge, which you turned me on to. And of course, we're going to talk about the best place on Polly's Island to get ice cream, the Paradice, P-A-R-A-D, capital I-C-E, with its array of flavors, tempting milks. Look, I got choked up talking about it.
I was going to say, don't cry. Every time you mention milkshakes, you start crying.
With its array of flavors, its tempting milkshakes, and creative custom-made ice cream sandwiches. They make their own ice cream sandwiches. It's unbelievable, that place.
It is. And I have to say, in all my trips down to Pauly's, you turn me on to Paradice.
Well, because I'm finding the milkshake spots, Mitch. I think we've established that.
You are. Although that sounded pretty weird. You turned me on to Paradice. I don't believe that's what I meant, but when it comes to ice cream, yes.
Isn't that a song from the 80s?
Well, now it should be. Can we go back to the 80s and record? No. Before we get going, I know you and me too, because I want to thank Bob Saganti, who's down here in the Myrtle Beach area. He is the director of golf operations for Caledonia and True Blue, a fantastic friend, always goes out of his way to help us whenever we want to get down there or spread the word about these golf courses. I can't say enough about Bob and his teams. And just to throw this out, you can find more about these two great experiences at Caledonia and True Blue if you go to CaledoniaGolfVacations.com. Both the True Blue and Caledonia websites by themselves are truly fantastic. I can't say enough about those. But go to this other website, CaledoniaGolfVacations.com, and if you happen to run into Bob when you're down there, throw him a thanks. Nobody does more for the game. We also want to thank Darren, and I know you do, because of Inlet Sports Lodge, Catherine Rotman. She's the marketing and golf director for the Inlet Sports Lodge. Both she and Bob were fantastic when it came to planning your trip down here and both of our playing experiences.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't thank them enough. And you know, I think people who listen to the podcast and think, boy, I really want to do what those guys do. All they get to do is just travel around, travel around, travel around. We couldn't do it without help from just so many people at so many destinations, not only across the country, but around the world. So, you know, we are so thankful that we're really blessed to be able to do what we do and have fun with it. But we just want to continually shout out to the people who help us get to where we're going all the time.
Okay. Let's start with Caledonia Golf and Fish Club. As we said, Pawleys Island on the southern part of the Grand Strand. And you and I have a chance to play it and have for years. And when people ask me, and I have a lot of favorites in Myrtle Beach, but when people ask me, knowing that I live here and that we have 80, 90 courses, what's my favorite? The one that always comes out first is Caledonia. And I say it unabashedly. I think it mixes everything that you want in a great golf experience, not just a course, but everything you want in a great golf experience that is truly representative of low country golf here on the Grand Strand. It is absolutely a magical spot.
What is the difference between low country and high country? Or is there such a thing as high country in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina?
Well, the high country in the Grand Strand along the coast is about a foot high. That's what we consider the high country.
And the low country is below sea level?
The low country is sea level and a little below, which is where we are all the time. So they're really, that's the big distinction, which is a foot.
There's so much I like about Caledonia. And again, this was a return visit for me, but it had been a long time ago. I had been down there, I believe, with my, I'd been down there to see you just many, many mm-hmm. years ago. But it really is magical. You know, you've got the moss-draped trees. You got gators everywhere, which I love. You know, some people get freaked by the gators. But in fact, we'll put up a picture that goes with this podcast of a gator just hanging out on the green, kind of tending the flag for me as I was hitting an approach shot. You know, it's a beautiful classic golf course, but it has all of Strantz's elements in there, these creative holes. You know, it's a little tight in spots, which I didn't remember, but at the same time, there's so much going for it that it's, you know, it's not overly long. It tests you in all different capacities, and it's just a beautiful place. I got to play it late out one afternoon, got to play nine holes, and then went out there again with you, and you know, it's really hard to describe what a setting it is there.
Well, the one thing, and people have seen pictures, I think, and video of the drive of when you turn into Caledonia. And I've said before, there's a lot of great entrances to golf courses. There's no question about that. But people think of Augusta and Magnolia Lane, which is beautiful, but fairly short. I don't think there's any place that when I turn in, I feel the way I do when I go to Caledonia, because the drive down that live oak moss-draped lane is pretty long. And it winds around, and all of it covered by these trees that overhang. You get to see different holes when you drive in first. You see on the left-hand side of the road, number one, on the right-hand side, the par 5 10th hole. You go around, and you're introduced for the first time, if you haven't been there, to these just a massive, beautiful area of what used to be the rice plantation down there that is just this exquisite, stretching landscape of low country, kind of swamp, marshy land, wide open. And then you see this beautiful clubhouse framed by these trees, and it completely, in the space of 3 minutes, takes you away from whatever you were doing before you turned in to Caledonia and golf. And for that reason, it is You know, when you talk about leaving one place and getting to another, that drive stands out to me more than any place that I've driven.
It is definitely an escape. There's no doubt about it. You know, you're like you said, transformed is a good word to get there. And the clubhouse itself is just, it's stunning. When you overlook, well, you're playing in on the 18th and you just see the stately clubhouse in the background. You see the miles and miles of, like you said, wetlands off to your right as you're coming down the 18th fairway. You know, there's almost nothing better. It's just, it's heavenly. And some of the holes when you're in there too are just kind of, you're in your own world, and it's because of the trees and because of the golf holes that Strantz created. Now, the golf course, I think, is the most kind of benign or maybe least severe of all the Strantz courses. So I think the person who's not a huge Strantz fan would go to Caledonia and have a great time and never think twice about the fact that it's a Mike Strantz course, which most of his other courses that we visited, the opposite is true.
Well, it's interesting because I have to disagree with you. And I think relative to other Strantz courses, it might not be as visually arresting a course, but I don't think it's the most benign, to use the word that you did. There's so many testing shots, especially into the greens, that it makes it a course that really makes you pay attention on those shots. And there are definitely penalties when you don't. I think because of the landscape and the beauty of the place, all of it together is kind of overwhelming in a way. And so you're forced to keep remembering that, oh, now I've got to hit this shot into this green. And because it's tight, and it's, as we said, it's not that long, but you better have a pretty good game coming into these greens. And so we'll talk a little bit about a lot about True Blue following this, which is the one I think of the Strantz courses, and I'll bring Bulls Bay into that discussion too, that I think those two courses are a little more benign than Caledonia.
Well, and I'm not saying that it's easy when I say it's benign, but I just think it's not as, I think the golf course from a visual standpoint is not as visually arresting as the other courses, certainly not than, you know, than Tobacco Road. You stand on the first tee at Tobacco Road, and you know, you've got to try to figure out where the heck you're going to hit it. Tot Hill Farm is that way, and True Blue is that way in spots. Whereas for me, Caledonia feels more traditional for the person who gets there. None of them are easy. And,
right.
You know, you've got to be on top of your game. You got to be able to hit the shots you want to hit. And, you know, to accomplish what you want to accomplish at Caledonia as well. But, you know, one thing we didn't, you know, we want to mention as well, and you mentioned the other people will say thanks to earlier on. You know, they've got a great team there, and I'll let you talk a little bit about the head pro. But that clubhouse as well, you know, we can't get away without talking about the signature shrimp bisque that they serve in the clubhouse bench.
Yeah. And they don't only serve it there, but they have chowder at the little station when you go up to start your round, depending on the weather. If it's 100 degrees, you're not really interested in chowder. But as the weather moves into fall and then kind of the middle of the year and into the spring, they have chowder out at this little great little shack there. And of course, the clubhouse. We talk about that overlooking. You're behind the 18th green, and they have a balcony that wraps around that's one of the great 19th holes where you can watch people play in, which is, you know, to so many of us, it's always fun to watch people play in and hit shots. And Caledonia is at the top of the list there. You mentioned the team. There's a little bit of a story. When Caledonia, which was Strand's first solo design, and I was actually in Myrtle Beach and working, doing golf videos before Caledonia opened. And I remember interviewing Danny Young, who was part of the team that brought Caledonia there. And we were at one of the holes. We were looking at the live oaks. The greens had just been finished being built. They weren't even grassed in yet. And I was out there talking to him. And the guy who was the man at Caledonia for years was a guy named Todd Weldon. He was the head pro, and There was nobody more welcoming or a better choice to be at that club at Caledonia than Todd Weldon. Fantastic guy, great friend to people, did tons for Myrtle Beach Golf, full of life, full of spirit, full of his love of the game, and passed away really early. Got sick, had a short illness, and then passed away. And I remember when Todd died, all of us in the Myrtle Beach golf community were devastated because he was such a big representative of what the beach was and what golf was here. And all of us were kind of thinking, where do you go from Todd? What do? Who do you find that can carry that tradition on? And luckily for all of us, Mark Gerton came along and picked up that mantle. And though Todd is missed, every time I go out, I think about him. Literally every time. I still go there, and this is years later. But thanks to Mark and his team, nobody missed a beat. People came, they still felt the same way. And I know Mark carries Todd with him every day, and the people at Caledonia do. But I always want to thank Mark for his kindness and his generosity and the way they keep the course. And it's like you said, and like we said, you won't find a more beautiful place with the landscaping and the condition of the golf course. And they just love their Caledonia. And thanks to them, we love Caledonia too. So thanks to Mark and his team.
The flowers, the trees, the conditioning, it's all second to none. It's outstanding. Yep. One thing I have to take exception to that you said earlier, when you said if it's 100 degrees outside, you probably don't want chowder.
Well, I was talking about everybody but
yeah,
you.
There's no situation where I won't eat chowder, Mitch. I don't know. That's just me, though.
Well, of course, that's just you. Luckily for all of us.
Hey, let's start the 18th hole real quick. Is crazy. I mean, we mentioned how beautiful it is. You're coming down, but it is one of those just insane kind of two shot holes that, you know, you're hitting over water to this green, you know, to this incredible, you know, almost amphitheater because of the clubhouse behind it. And it's such a fitting finish to any round. And if you're playing a match, I played a match against a guy there who hit it over into the trees and had to like hack it out from the trees. There's some great video on Instagram about that. And it's just a fun hole to finish on that can just shatter your round on the final hole, or, you know, just make you walk off the golf course thinking you're the king of the world.
Well, par is an unbelievable score on 18. You hit your tee shot, which you can hit an iron for position. You can hit a driver further down the fairway to have less distance into the green. Either way, you're either going to be hitting over, well, you're hitting over water in any case. But the green runs diagonally from front left to back right. It's got a dip in the middle of it. There's a bunker left. It's Strand's feature. It might not be visually intimidating just by seeing it, but once you get out there and you have to hit that shot, it's as intimidating as you want. It's everything you want in a second shot. We came, you may remember this, Darren. I happened to hit that shot into the trees, hack it out, try to get to a point where I could somehow find a way to get on that green, because you and I were in our match that day tied going to that hole.
Correct.
You probably don't remember that, though, right? Anyway, we did that.
I think I remember who won.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't have the, you know, whatever, the skill, the cojones to make that pay off. I had to go for a heroic shot into 18, and I couldn't pull it off. That's all there was to it. And you won one up after a back-and-forth match, like we have sometimes. And it was just, you're right. It's a great end to that day where you walk off and go, wow, I'm never going to forget this golf hole.
Right. For better or worse.
Better or worse. All right. Let us move away down the road, literally a couple minutes away from Caledonia, to Mike Strand's fourth original solo design, the sister course for Caledonia, which of course is True Blue. When True Blue was built, I remember it well. And it was as big a course as it is now. It was an even bigger golf course when Strands originally designed it. It was, for as tight and as kind of demanding as Caledonia was, True Blue was felt like it was twice as big, twice as bold, twice as brawny, twice as everything as Caledonia was. And they softened it. After a number of years, everybody kind of realized, okay, it's a little too much for the casual golfer. And so they softened it. They did work on the bunkering to bring some of them down. They widened some of the fairways. They moved some of the tee boxes. They basically softened up the golf course, which in my mind, as much as I liked it at the beginning, to me now, it took it to a whole different level of enjoyment and therefore respect and acclaim. And every time I play True Blue, I love it more every time I play it. I can't put it any other way.
And that's how I felt. I did not remember enjoying it as much as I did this time around. There is, you know, all the things that we're looking for in modern golf design now, width and angles and the ability to hit a variety of shots without losing golf balls. You know, obviously there's trouble out there. There's trouble on every golf course, but there are a lot of ways to think your way through all these different holes that he has out at True Blue. And because of that, I agree with you. I think it's probably the friendliest to the average player. And certainly playing it with Hickories and having it play linksy and wide out there like it did the day I was there, it's just, it makes it a fun course. And I played with a husband and wife couple who had a great time. They were vacationing. The husband was a decent player, probably about like us. His wife could get it around, but she couldn't hit it particularly far. And it didn't matter for both of them. They found ways around the golf course and ways into greens. And, you know, I think that's the mark of a course that's enjoyable for many, many people.
Well, and I think that's totally true. And there are so many great, again, you know, one of the features of Strand's golf courses that you and I find particularly fascinating, not that the rest of the course with tee shots and, you know, fairway bunkers and that kind of thing. But the green complexes at True Blue, again, are what make the golf course. There's all different varieties of bunkering and green size and green shapes. And all the way around, you're constantly engaged. And that is exactly what Mike Strands wanted. He wanted you to be engaged with the work that he did. We talked about the 18th at Caledonia, and the 18th at True Blue is a similar, though different, kind of golf hole. And when you walk off the 18th, it's a demanding tee shot and then a second shot over again water into a green that goes away from you with the True Blue, really distinctive True Blue clubhouse with a beautiful blue metal roof on top. It's a visual that you don't forget. When you leave that golf course, that's the thing that you remember. And then all the other parts of it fall in kind of behind it. But the way these two courses end, pretty amazing. And you almost had the memory of your golf life up to this point.
Oh,
on the third hole.
I am still in search of the elusive first Hickory ace, and I hit it to a foot on the par three third. It was one of those holes, ironically, where you know, they do for charity, and so the woman came out and gave us the spiel. Hey, do you want to donate whatever it is? And if you hit it on the green, you get in this drawing. If you have a hole in one, you're going to win a free trip. You know, and I don't usually do that stuff because I honestly, Mitch, I get enough free trips. But of course, then I almost aced it. I hit it to within 1 foot. And, you know, I just, I was so close. I've been so close lately. I'm actually on a roll of hitting it just close enough to feel like I was going to make a hole in one without making a hole in one.
Yeah, and we should mention that that hole you're talking about, this par three, is it's a really tough, beautiful par three. Mike Strands did a number of interesting things on these courses with beach bunkers, where the bunkers seem to just grow out of the water, and that's one of them. It's got a tough, pretty long green. It's an absolutely beautiful hole, and it's real classic Mike Strands. So that would have been something. Not that it wouldn't have been something if it wasn't a Mike Strands course, but knowing how we feel, if you had had a hole in one there and I wasn't there to record it, that would have been the kicker.
Yeah, that hole, you mentioned the bunker, and the pin was the very front of, like you said, a long, long green, and that bunker actually obscures the cup. So we couldn't tell until we got all the way up there and drove around the green how close it actually was. It was just one of those things that I hit it, you know, exactly the way I wanted to. And I was like, well, that's got to be really close. And there was half of me that thought we were going to get around the corner and see that it was not on the green, but in the cup. And of course, that was not the case. You know, one thing about True Blue that one of our friends who I consider to be a Mike Strantz expert, who will remain nameless for the purposes of this comment, but, you know, he said to me one night over dinner, he said, I think the biggest knock against True Blue is that it's not Caledonia. And I think that's kind of the highest praise, because, you know, people see Caledonia as like being, you know, the top of the food chain, basically, when it comes to Strantz courses, that course and Tobacco Road, obviously. But True Blue, for me, I might play True Blue more than Caledonia if I were there for like a week-long trip. If I had five rounds, I might play True Blue three times and Caledonia only twice.
Yeah, and I can see that. I can. And I obviously, I said Caledonia to me, if you had one course to play for Grand Strand Golf, that would be the course. But with the thing that makes this so amazing to me, we said that they're right next to each other virtually, is that I don't know of many places that have this kind of 1-2 punch that you have at Caledonia and True Blue. Separate, different golf courses, but together, when you can play one after the other and even do it a few times, I don't think it gets better than that. I really don't. I there's a lot of places with great courses and multiple courses, and we both know them. But I don't know. This it would be tough. There's no right answer, but it would be tough to say there's a better 1-2 than this. Before we leave True Blue and talk about the Inlet Sports Lodge for a second, I want to also give a shout out to one of the great teachers that we have here. We have a number of them on the Grand Strand, but a guy who has been here for a long time and has built up a following over years of giving to the game and to players is Steve Dresser. And his golf academy is on the property at True Blue. And if you do get to True Blue and you have a chance, even during the round, you'll see where the school is. Just run over there and say hi to Steve, because you won't meet a nicer guy or one that's more knowledgeable. He has helped so many people in this game. And as I said, a fixture in Myrtle Beach Golf, and we're glad he's out at True Blue.
And I did exactly that during my round. I went right by the academy and I was like, Steve Dresser, who I've interacted with many times on Twitter. I'd never met him in person. I hopped over there. He was getting ready to start a little group lesson over there, and quite a little great little facility that he's got, and you know, keeps giving back to the game by teaching people how to play.
Yeah, he does. Fabulous guy. And we're talking about team, and I want to give a shout out also to the team at True Blue. We talked about Caledonia, and True Blue has another great team, and it's headed by head pro Bart Romano, who's also been there for quite a while, and he's another fixture here in the area. And when you walk in, we can always tell by the way the pro shop is laid out and the kind of content that's in these pro shops and the way the guys behind the desk deal with you. And this is another fabulous team. Bart and his gang make you feel welcome. It's just a great place to walk into. Fabulous restaurant attached, and another outdoor area with a railing so you can watch the 18th. And again, I'm so glad I live here, and these places are literally just a hop in the car and a few miles away. And when you get down there, Darren, let's talk about the Inlet Sports Lodge, because people may wonder, there's tons of hotels in Myrtle Beach and along the Grand Strand. For these golf courses down on the southern end, people may say, well, do I have to stay in Myrtle Beach and then drive half an hour or 45 minutes to Pauly's? The answer is no. And I think because of a place that may fly a little under the radar, but absolutely should not, and that's Inlet Sports Lodge.
Oh, the Inlet Sports Lodge was outstanding. You know, it's low key. It's easy access, leaves you wanting for nothing, though. Because it's designed more for fishing clientele, the rooms are decked out. They got full kitchens. They got pretty much everything you need for an extended stay, which also makes them perfect for golfers to use as a home base. There's plenty of space. There's comfortable beds. You know, it's everything you want in a room. And, you know, it's like you said, I've stayed on the Strand, you know, overlooking the beach, and that is a great experience to have. But down here, if you want to be within 15 minutes of Caledonian True Blue, it's really the way to go.
And there's a great restaurant. There's Costa, right? And the bar next door, they have seafood. I know the food was big to you. It always is. But they have great food.
Yeah, Costa was a great restaurant. And it's, I don't know if it's attached or if it's just right there on the same corner property. I never quite figured that out. But boy, seafood, pasta, pretty much any of the other big dinner items you want. It seems like I had a risotto one night. It's just kind of a hoppin'. I'm starting that. That's going to be my new word.
It's a
hoppin' spot. And, you know, it's got a little bar and, you know, it was packed the night I was there. You know, I had to, sit a little table in the bar, just to get some food, but, you know, people in there having fun and, you know, it's not all golf clientele. Sometimes you stay at a golf resort, everybody's talking golf and everything. You know, if you want to be just out with the normal people who are talking about just the beauty and the love of the area and all the other things that people are doing on their vacations, it's a great spot.
Well, and again, thanks to Catherine Rotman of the Inlet Sports Lodge for her help and letting Darren see. I knew because I have been aware of it for a long time, but Darren really got to see what it's all about. So thanks to Catherine for that and the Inlet Sports Lodge, and we hope you go visit them. Okay, let's move away from the southern part of the Grand Strand and travel down 17 for about another 45 minutes to an hour north of Charleston in Owendaw, South Carolina, Owendaw.
I still can't say that.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to, and I hope you don't, because you'll butcher it. But is a course that I'm so glad that Darren and I got to share together. Again, I've played it a number of times over the years. Darren had not, and it's the only private Mike Strand solo design in his resume, and that, of course, is at Bull's Bay.
And by that, you mean that he built from the ground up, that he didn't build...
Correct. It wasn't a renovation. It wasn't a restoration.
Correct.
It was just land and trees and his sketch pad, and it became Bull's
Bay.
Right,
because Silver Creek Valley and Monterey Peninsula Country Club are both considered his designs now, even though
right.
somebody else had worked on them originally.
Right, but what I'm talking about is what I said. There was nothing there, and then there was.
Correct.
And the other cool part of this is that Mike Strand actually lived on that land while he was building the golf course. So I think, you know, we talk about kind of a home game.
That's right.
And this is definitely it. And you can feel the love. And I think when it comes to private club experiences, again, we don't want to, well, we are, we're Strands gushing. That's the only way to put it. But the team that's there and the whole experience from the time you pull through the gates with the bull's skeleton head on the gate and it opens up and you drive in, from that point, you realize what is so special about Bull's Bay.
You know, I've been fortunate to play a handful of private clubs lately, probably more private clubs in the last few months than I've, you know, played in the last few years, honestly. And there are so many good under the radar private clubs out there. And this is just yet another one of those. Bull's Bay. I mean, if I lived in Charleston, I'd do everything I could to be a member of Bull's Bay. And we actually know a member, don't we? On your former Golf Connections podcast, you had Hootie himself, Darius Rucker, who talked a lot about Bull's Bay on that podcast and just how much he loves it.
Yeah, I've known Darius for a long time. Met him really originally when the Monday after the Masters came to Myrtle Beach out at the Dye Club. And Darius has been a friend of Myrtle Beach Golf for a long time. And I had crossed paths with him and spent actually a pretty good amount of time. And then did a great interview with him on the Golf Connections podcast, as you mentioned. And he's really one of the first people that made people aware of Bull's Bay because he's a member and talks it up all the time. And, you know, the thing about it is when you pull in, we just saw Shinnecock at the U.S. Open and the effect that the clubhouse has on that golf course. It's striking. It's what people remember. It's what they see from so many different holes. And the clubhouse at Bull's Bay is exactly that. It was inspired by the clubhouse at Shinnecock. And when I say it sits on a hill, and you know this, Darren, I could say the words it sits on a hill, but this is not sitting on a hill. This is a 70-foot man-made hill that was created to house the clubhouse. And from that vantage point, when you first get up there, you can see almost the entirety of the golf course, and you can see that clubhouse from 15 of the 18 holes. So when you talk about kind of Bull's Bay, the first thing that pops to my mind is the clubhouse.
Oh, it's a stunning vantage point up there, and just this kind of central hub, and the way the golf holes play up and down, you know, toward it and away from it and kind of around that hill. It's really quite genius. It's just for a golf course to be set up that way. And then the other thing they did, that was interesting is you don't have to climb that hill to the clubhouse for the practice facility and all that. That's all down there. Parking is all down on the lower level. I'm sure there are members who may never even go in the clubhouse, to be honest. Show up down there, unload their car, hop in and go out and play. But for the person who's there, who is getting a first time look at it, or even in your case, second, third, whatever, how many times you'd been there. It's so striking, probably more striking than most golf course properties I can remember with something like that. Not because of the way the clubhouse looks specifically, because we always run into those properties. The clubhouse is so cool that it's a focal point, but it's just because of the elevation and because of that hill. And like you said, I didn't realize that it was man-made. So, I mean, to me, that makes it seem even crazier, because it doesn't feel man-made.
Yeah. And the holes, and, you know, you and I talk about and have even on this podcast, the visual nature of Mike Strand's golf courses. And when I said that I thought that True Blue was a little more almost playable, it's the wrong word, but a little more friendly, I feel the same way about Bull's Bay because of the width of the golf course and the shots you can hit off the tee. I think he really gives you room to play on most of the holes. Now, there's some of them that are tighter and more challenging, and the second shots are, you know, what make the holes. 9 and 18, when you play those holes and you tee off from the valley, and the shots leading up to the green are all the way up to the clubhouse. So we're talking major elevation, and it's a whole different level of golf hole than a lot of the other ones you find, which are in a flatter area, more openly visible kind of thing. And the mixture of all that, to me, is what makes Bull's Bay such a really, really great place to play. And like you said, I could see being a member. We always say, you know, the test of a private club is, do you want to play this three times a week if you could?
Right.
And the answer at Bull's Bay is yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think he got away with things in the elevation changes and some of the other things that he might not be able to get away with as easy in other places, because, you know, in public venues, because it's a members course and people are going to get used to it. So he can have a dog leg here or a tremendous uphill hole, you know, some of those things that at a regular course where, you know, you're getting resort play, people might think, well, that's too extreme. I can come back. I agree with you that it's very playable. We talked about it all the time. There's a ton of room. There's a lot of angles. It's very similar to True Blue in that regard, in terms of the playability, I think. It's not, you know, Caledonia is much tighter because of the constraints of the land. At True Blue, and then even more so at Bull's Bay, they weren't constrained the same way. And so he had lots of room out there. And that makes for cool, fun shot making. Now, some would argue that it makes it too easy because, if I recall, you played your best golf of the week on Bull's Bay. And so, you know, just...
Are you saying it's because it's easy?
It must have been, because it can't be because you were better than me or had the ability to beat me 4-3.
Well, I believe that the case was that I actually played a lot better than you. Reflected in the 4-3.
You did. You hit some great shots, and there are great shots to hit out there. There's a lot of different ways to think your way around the golf course. And, you know, that's the hallmark of all these courses we talk about, True Blue, Tot Hill Farm, you know, both the courses up at Pauley's, you know, this one. It's why we love Strantz, because it requires your brain to be engaged throughout the round. There are no lulls on a Strantz course. You don't go through two or three holes where you think to yourself, I could do without these holes. You know, I think back a lot too. You know, I was in Australia a couple years ago now, I guess it is almost, and I was playing Lost Farm, which gets accolades out on Tasmania as being the second course built after Barnboogle. And Cor Crenshaw did a great job, and there are some just delicious holes, some stunning holes. But there's a stretch of the golf course of about three holes where I just kind of forgot I was playing golf. I wasn't engaged in the round. And I thought to myself while I was out there, I go, this is the reason I like Strantz. This is the reason I like Kidd. I like these guys who are creative because I don't run into those lulls on their golf courses.
Yeah, and that makes total sense to me. Complete sense to me. And I think it's been the hallmark of Mike Strantz, certainly, and David McClay Kidd now and others. And it is why we love going back. And basically, you can't go wrong. You come to South Carolina and you get a chance to play Caledonian True Blue. And if you can, maybe some way, find a way to get onto Bulls Bay and get the trifecta, and you will walk away feeling a connection to Strantz that I don't think you'd have felt before. And like I said, I'm lucky enough to live by all these three courses, and I know Darren wishes he did. There's a lot of places in California that I wish I lived close to. This is one I think I have on Mr. Bunch. So hopefully you guys can get out and see them too.
If I lived in the Carolinas, I would just be playing Strantz courses nonstop, whether it would be in South Carolina or North Carolina. But, you know, there's a lot more of South Carolina for me to explore. So I need to get back down there and do it with you. But it's going to be tough to beat this threesome that we did in 1 week on this trip.
Well, and you and I have a 2-year rule, which is that you can't visit me more than once every 2 years. All right. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the conversation. Certainly, we enjoy talking about it, and we couldn't do it without you listening to it. So follow us on social media. You can rate us, which helps us a lot on iTunes. It'll just help us spread the word about the best in golf travel. Thanks again to Bob Saganti, to Catherine Rotman, to Mark Gerton, to Bart Romano, and all the people down here at these great courses. Come out and see us. Get down here. And of course, keep running down your dream. So long.